Welcome to the JAG podcast. My name is Anthony, and for those new to JAG, it stands for the Joint Advisory Group on GI Endoscopy. We were founded in 1994 and have been aiming to improve GI endoscopy services ever since. This podcast will aim to help you and your service understand more about JAG and the elements of becoming accredited. So today we're going to be joined by Fedra Dodge, who is the JETS Workforce Lead. And Fedra has joined us today to help us celebrate the fifth anniversary of JETS Workforce. So we're going to be talking to Fedra about the creation of JETS Workforce, how it has changed over the years, and how it can help you and your service. So without further ado, hello to Fedra.
Hi, Anthony. How are you?
I'm good. How are we today?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Excellent. It's very nice to have you on. It's great to be here celebrating the fifth anniversary of JETS Workforce. We've had you on previously, and we've spoken plenty about JETS Workforce and some of the benefits of that and how it's kind of changed over the years. But this is a bit of a more in-depth way of doing that. How excited are you that you've reached 5 years of JETS Workforce?
Yes, quite excited, but also relieved. I think that especially in the last year to 18 months, we've really kind of completed many of the big projects that we set out for ourselves. And, you know, that's a great feeling to think that we can now offer more to the endoscopy community and, you know, more people are getting involved. So that's really satisfying, I think.
Yeah, I can imagine it is. And just for people who may not have listened to you the first time around, we'll go all the way back to the start. I think people might want to know how the idea of JETS Workforce came about.
Yeah, so it wasn't just my idea. I've got to put that out there. Lots of people contributed. I think what happened is we saw that the success of JETS. So that's the training scheme for endoscopists. And it was really successful. It was kind of embedded culturally within the endoscopy community. And it just became a norm that that's what you do when you join endoscopy. If you want to become an endoscopist, you train on your JETS and that's your e-portfolio. And I come from a staff nurse background in endoscopy. And when I joined endoscopy like 24 years ago now, I did have a competency framework. It was paper-based and it was pretty good. You know, it really helped me in those first couple of months. But I knew that from my work around Wales that not everyone had that. Not everyone had those opportunities to learn and demonstrate their knowledge and skills in such a kind of organized way. So it got us thinking and got us looking around, and we knew that the brilliant GIN program was out there too. So that was the gastrointestinal nursing program. And what I think was emerging kind of maybe about 10 years ago was that there were pockets of brilliance. So people were really into helping others learn, and there were pockets where it was really good, but there were pockets where it was like a desert. There was nothing out there for people, and people were just kind of learning by watching others, not really that evidence-based. So there was a little gang of us, and, you know, all at the same time, we felt that we wanted something a bit more substantial that everyone could join in. And I remember going to a meeting hosted by JAG to kind of see what we could do. And that was about 6-7 years ago. And from that, JAG were really enthusiastic from the off. They really saw that this was a gap in the market, really. Something that hadn't really been addressed on a kind of all nations basis. And yeah, we just started working from there, really. I thought naively and in my silly brain that it would take 6 months to a year to kind of get to this stage. It's actually taken 5 years. But I think that has been a benefit, because what we've been able to do is do things bit by bit, make sure that the quality is there, make sure the evidence is there, make sure we're listening to people, bringing people in, working in collaboration, learning from others. So we don't just kind of go hell for leather on a journey that's just with our ideas. This is about making sure that everyone is involved.
Yeah, and when you say that, obviously the workforce can be overlooked in training opportunities. So how do you think Jet's workforce has kind of helped to push the boundaries in that area?
I think it's really beginning to change endoscopy culturally for the whole community. I think people are far more aware of the need for training and education now for everyone. And when we talk about workforce, we mean everyone. We mean, you know, your staff nurses, we mean new starters in endoscopy, we mean people who have been there for ages, managers, practice educators, decontamination technicians, healthcare support workers, ODPs, absolutely everyone who assists with endoscopy and who cares for patients during endoscopy. So I think there wasn't an appreciation of the breadth of people who work in endoscopy, and there wasn't an appreciation of how skilled the jobs are in endoscopy. You can't train in endoscopy and be competent and confident within just a couple of weeks. It just doesn't work like that. It takes months and months and months to refine those skills, know what you're talking about, be able to care for those patients in the quality way we want to. But I mean, it was largely left to people before Jet's workforce, kind of, or units, kind of what you wanted to do about it. And now there's a formal structure that everyone can access. This is really important for Jet's workforce, is that everyone can access. And that's whatever role you're in, and whether you're in NHS or private sector, whether you're in England, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, it doesn't matter. Everyone can access the same. That's really important. So I think what we're also doing in Jet's workforce that perhaps hadn't been done before is really kind of empower that community to be formed, bringing people together, whether they are faculty for courses, whether they come on courses, everyone meets everyone from, you know, around the five nations now. And I think that's a real bonus because there's a lot of learning in peer support and peer benchmarking.
Absolutely. And you can kind of, first of all, I just like to say, you can kind of gain your, or like understand your passion for this as well. You can hear that coming through. You talk about it helping services to deliver healthcare safely and how it's managed to continuously improve, and that's one of our main aims as JAG as a whole, you know, the accreditation side and the training side, is to continuously improve. How do you think it's kind of helped to do that? Is it just by being a bit more accessible, or is it a little bit more in depth?
I think it's because we've really thought about the ways that people can access training and education. So we don't just give, you know, one blanket way for people to learn. There's e-learning for health modules, there are courses, and there's also your a personal e-portfolio for people. But it does have the ability for unit managers, practice educators, etc., to get a view of where people are on their journey and what they need to do next. I think that that's really important because we know that people learn in different ways. People learn at different speeds as well. So what we try to do is make everything accessible. I am really passionate about Jet's workforce, but I think more than that, I'm really passionate about people achieving their goals, people being the best they can in endoscopy. And I'm really, really, really passionate about bringing people into the specialty, giving them training and education, but also keeping them in the specialty, making sure they can have lifelong careers in endoscopy. There is no point us bringing people in, training them up, and there's nothing for them to go to. Everyone's got to have a career pathway, and I think Jet's workforce can really support that.
So it kind of leads nicely on to my next question. You know, when you look back at that journey for Jet's workforce over the last 5 years, and what would you kind of say that your most probably rewarding part of that journey, what do you think that would be? Would it be, you know, the ability to give these people, you know, a pathway into their career and futures? Would that be one of them, or would it be something else?
I think it's all about seeing people grow. I mean, what we do in Jet's workforce is we produce products, and it's, you know, if no one ever used the products, then what would be the point, really? So it's when people use the products and when we get feedback from courses that say things like, you know, I've worked in endoscopy for 20 years and I still learned something today. Or I met some lovely people and I really feel more passionate about my endoscopy. You know, I'm going back to my unit with new ideas and a new way of thinking. I think that's the most rewarding thing. I mean, for anyone who's thinking about doing national roles, it is incredibly hard work. I, you know, work for JAG for like 2.5 hours a week or 3 hours a week. It's a lot more than that. But I think it's when you begin to get that feedback loop and seeing people grow and actually enjoy their specialty and you're just a little part of the journey there. I think that's incredibly rewarding and it's worth everything.
Yeah, I can imagine it's always nice to know that you're making a difference in someone's life, really. You know, that healthcare is probably these people's lives. So it's obviously must be really rewarding to kind of get that feedback for yourself as well. Just, you know, looking at JET, it has expanded quite rapidly and immensely over the past couple of years. Obviously, there's been things that might have helped that. Maybe some cultural changes, just bringing about more of an increase in people using JET's workforce. What would you say has been the biggest cultural change towards that?
We're still working on this one. We want people to have time to train and educate others. We want to support our faculty to be supported by their employing organisation to be able to come with us on this journey. That can sometimes be a bit tricky. The enablers of JET's workforce have really been the faculty, because if it's just one person going out teaching, that's a really limited opportunity. What we wanted from the start was a cascade effect. We wanted, yes, we would produce the products in JAG, but they then have to be taught to other people, and then they have to be used by a lot of people. So we're just about getting to a brilliant point in our faculty where we have nearly 100 active Endo 1 faculty, and we've got Endo 3 faculty 2. And that really, really is great because not only do they teach others, they give us great ideas, they give us loads of feedback, and they're kind of our clinical reference group, really, where we can go out and say, what do you think about this? The other great enabler of JET's workforce has been the JAG team. I mean, JAG have been so helpful towards JET's workforce. I have been blown away with the project managers, by the people who help in JAG, you know, by the JET's workforce team. You know, it has been incredible. The way that people have worked with me as a clinician, the way that people have been able to make the ideas reality, work with the IT people as well, has just been outstanding. It may not have always been quick, and that's mostly my fault. And one of the reasons for that is because I wanted to make sure that what we were putting out was right and make sure that it's quality assured, make sure that it's up to date, and also make sure that we've really got thinking behind it. We didn't just want to kind of throw stuff together and put it out there. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think when you look at the numbers in the faculties, I think you can see that kind of thought process of getting the right thing out there and getting it out at the right time. It's reflected in the way this all works. You can see that coming together. You know, there's so many nice comments about JET's workforce and the way it's helped. You know, we constantly look at feedback within our program, and I can personally see how hard the training side of the team works around this. And so it is really good to see. You can see the difference that it's making. And just when you're talking there, you know, being able to get 100 people just to come along and help you deliver these sessions all around the UK, Northern Ireland and Ireland. It's an amazing thing. I think it's one they should be very, very proud of. Looking ahead to the future of JET's workforce, obviously it's nice to kind of put your mind there and just kind of see what might happen. What do you see as being the key priorities for the programme and for the endoscopy workforce?
So we have just so this year we have Jet's workforce coming into the JAG accreditation standards for the first time ever. So for the first time, units have to ensure that a percentage of their staff have actually had training. I imagine that in years to come, that percentage could go up. This year it's 10%, next year it's 25%. I'm sure in years to come it'll push up a little bit further. And what that is supposed to do, so the kind of vision and philosophy behind that is not to beat people around the head with education and training, but it is to support the workforce to say, this is mandatory, we have to give some time to this. We had a lot of feedback from managers saying they would love to give their staff time and opportunity, but because it's not mandatory, the hierarchy within trusts, within health boards was saying, well, we haven't really got time for this because we've got to address other things. So now that it's mandatory, it kind of gives people the opportunity to allow people to train more, allow people to have more opportunities. So that's great. So that's one of our priorities. The other priority is to make sure that we have the full range of courses. So at the minute, we are developing the Endo 2 course, which is about advanced endoscopy. So it's about assisting and caring for patients during procedures such as EUS, ERCP, big polyps. And I hope that in the future, we have the opportunity to add more courses. And make sure that they're under that JAG umbrella so that we can quality assure them and make sure that they are for everyone. So really going back to that vision at the beginning, that there should be equity for everyone to access all the courses to make sure that people don't have a stop in their career just because they can't access really high quality courses and evidence to support their practice.
I think that's really good to hear. One thing that I get from all the work that JAG does, really, and in particular the training side, is that kind of motivation to improve services, improving employees of those services, and just to keep that, safety, the keep continuously improve on that. Is that something that kind of drives you? Is drive yourself as well? Is that something that's just ingrained in you kind of early on?
I think so. I think I always wanted to do more in endoscopy. I always wanted to kind of push the boundaries a bit. So I was a staff nurse, then a clinical endoscopist, then a consultant nurse, and I've worked in now two academies for endoscopy as well. So 24 years seems to have flown by, but there's been a lot in there. I've taught endoscopy skills abroad as well in Iraq and Bangladesh. And kind of link with Europe quite closely as well to offer them what we're doing, but also hear what they're doing too. I just think it's a really exciting specialty that, if you work hard and you're just interested, so you stay curious about stuff, you can have a really exciting career. There's loads of opportunities in endoscopy now. And I've never really been worried about, pushing the boundaries a bit because I've had some brilliant mentors, some brilliant friends in endoscopy who have been really supportive. I'm a member of the BSG and I'm really excited to see how the BSG and JAG work more closely in the near future. And also with the emergence of the academies, that they can really support the work that JAG do and make sure that we're really getting down into the grassroots of endoscopy, all of those brilliant packages of education.
Yeah, it's really good. I'm hoping in 24 years' time there's someone else who's on a podcast
Well,
and
it won't
talking
be
about
me.
the
It
I'm hoping they're going to talk about how the impact of JET's workforce has helped them and created a nice community that they can rely on, because it obviously seems to have done the same for yourself as well in your career, so.
Well, I think that's the thing, isn't it? It's about legacy. So when I look at Jet's workforce now, I think it is embedded. It will grow. It will change over the years, and I think that's fantastic. It will maybe go in areas that, that we haven't thought of yet. There will be emerging technologies, etc., that we're not using yet. So it will have to adapt and change. But I think what's brilliant is that it is supported. One of, I think, the most heartwarming moments of Jet's workforce for me was when we did one of our first Endo 3 courses, and that was actually in the Royal College of Physician building. Now, that might sound okay, it was in the building, you know, that's where the JAG people work. But for us, I think, as, you know, a workforce, nursing, healthcare support worker, manager community, that was a big deal. So walking up those steps and taking our place in the Royal College of Physicians as a community that is valued, as a community that is thought highly of, I thought was a real moment for us.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely entitled to think that as well. It's a big stage. It's a very well known place, and it's been around for hundreds of years. So to be able to deliver your sessions there is absolutely fantastic. Fedra, I really want to thank you for talking to me today. I think it's been really interesting to learn a little bit more about Jet's workforce, where it's come from and where it's going to go. And I really wish you all the luck in the world with that as well. And just to the listener, thank you very much for listening. We hope you found it informative. We do have more interviews to help you and your service available wherever you get your podcasts. You can keep up to date with all things JAG by checking out our website, which is thejag.org.uk, and our Twitter @JAG_endoscopy. And I just want to wish a big thank you to Fedra again.